Steph.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kim. Today, we are without another guest, so I really need to stop that.
I don't know. I'm sure the listeners love us, so.
The last one got heavily edited, FYI.
I see how it is. Just take all my voice out.
It's just me talking to myself for an hour. It's great. Or half an hour.
Hey, you know what? There's worse podcasts out there. You know, maybe if we're good enough, we'll get picked up by like the Gimlet or like the
Maximum
Stuff
Fun.
You Should Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not, but it's nice to think we could. So, how was your day today?
Oof.
Oof.
Oof. Oof-ta.
You're so South Dakota.
Yeah. The past paycheck, so 2 weeks, I have worked about 106 hours, and that's still not counting tomorrow's hours, and then some overtime on Saturday
that
I'll have to put in as well.
What are you doing that's taking so much extra?
So, did some travel for work last week and put in 30 hours overtime. Oof. So, just a lot of kind of like traveling to a place and moving hardware around manually. Yeah.
Got to do that sometimes.
And exactly. And then this week, we're moving all of our IT department to another location within our city.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, that's been a lot of time too.
Why are you moving?
Mergers and acquisitions.
Oh.
Yeah, fun stuff.
That, oh boy, that's, I always feel bad. Like, moving a house is bad enough, but like, you know, if something breaks, you're just breaking, like, maybe it's a priceless heirloom, but it's usually not that big of a deal. But if you move an entire IT department and like spill coffee on the servers as you're moving them.
Oh, well, thankfully, stuff like that is staying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you know, the really important stuff. And even if it was moving, it wouldn't be, you know, me, a desktop tech, moving it.
I would hope not.
So, yeah, it's the stuff like, you know, desktop monitors, arms, mice, keyboard, phones, setting those up and kind of the grunt work of getting all that kind of configured.
Okay, that's not so bad. Yeah. I was envisioning like entire data centers moving. Ooh.
Not as far as I know, so.
At least not as far as you have to deal with.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I am tired, and then just before this, I got an on-call, so, which meant that someone had an issue and got to get a call outside business hours.
Yeah, because sadly,
pop open my laptop.
As the desktop person, you have to do those things too.
Yep.
People don't like to work within office hours anymore.
Yeah. I keep saying I'm going to buy a pillow with the overtime pay and sleep for 2 days straight.
Right? Yeah, that sounds...
Although I'm being pressured by another coworker to buy a motorcycle instead of a pillow.
Wow. What kind of pillow are you going to buy that you're going to sleep for 2 days on?
You know, I can sleep for 2 days on anything, so...
Well, then buy the motorcycle and never mind the pillow.
Ah, yeah, there you go. I mean, I already have a motorcycle. It'd just be one that I want more.
Oh.
You know? Yeah. I have a Suzuki Marauder. I'd like a Suzuki V-Strom. Yeah, I think Suzuki. Yeah, Suzuki V-Strom.
Gotcha. So just an upgrade.
Yeah, kind of. Different style.
Fun.
What about you? How's your week been going?
Oh, it's gone pretty well. I had, for my company, or at least my group, they do this thing called Train the Trainer. So after you've been there so long, they basically, it's kind of like a quiz to see what you know. And so you walk through the basics of how to do setting up pieces within the software, how to make sure the software is functioning, just things that we walk through on the phone on a day-to-day basis with our customers. And so I had that this morning, and I did very, very well. So that was good. I apparently have learned a lot in my 7 months-ish that I've been there. So
that's a good thing for a company to do, though. I mean, I never really thought about that, but I like it.
Well, and because it is such a specific software that, like, the reason they have to have a support staff is because it's very tedious and very, like, it just gets into a lot of detail that the average person on the street has no idea that this is what goes into, you know, setting things up. So it's really interesting. But yeah.
Well, congrats on passing.
Thank you. I'm not sure it was a pass-fail situation, but... They also threw somebody in who actually, like, he was from a different part of the company and didn't know anything about my particular piece of software. And so he was like, okay, whoa, wait. What does this do? Why are nice. You doing that? What is
so
this?
So you were legitimately training at the same time.
I was. It was it was one of those, like, I wasn't, okay, well, this is what it does. This is why you would use it. Kind of.
I had applied to do a software analyst, like, training position, kind of like that once.
Yeah.
And in the application process, they had me learn and then present how to use Evernote in front of the interviewers.
Well, that's...
Yeah, that was interesting.
And it makes sense. I mean, from the other side of the phone, if I was the one calling in for support, I definitely want people who know what they're talking about so that they're not just like, I think you should do...
I don't know.
I think you should do this.
Let me read the manual word for word. You know?
Or, like, when you call in somewhere and it's, you can literally tell they're just reading the script and you're just like,
yeah,
I've already done all the things. Just tell me what to do next.
Or, like, you go to Best Buy or Walmart and you ask, so, can you tell me about this computer?
And then they read the sign.
You see them look at the sticker. Well, it has 7 gigs of RAM and,
7 gigs? That's a rare computer.
Yeah, I know, right? It has a 4 gig stick and a 3 gig stick.
For our listeners, normally RAM comes in increments of either it's a 1 gig or then it's increments of 2 usually thereafter. So that would be a very...
There are 3 gigs.
Are there?
I think, I mean, yeah, right?
Maybe.
I think there has to be. I think, anyways.
Regardless. So.
But yeah, usually it's increments of 2 and then thereafter, like she said.
And usually they match if they're in a system. So if you have 1 of 3, you would have another of 3. If 1 of 4, you'd have another of 4. Because they like symmetry in their design, I guess. Anyway.
Has to do with the bits.
And the bytes.
Exactly. IT jokes. Ha.
We're so good at this.
It's bit, it's worse than it's byte. Put it through. There you go. Awesome. Why don't we talk about something in the news here?
Okay.
So it's nothing really newsy in the traditional sense that we normally do, but it's a little more on topic of what we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
A new video game got released that I've kind of been playing a little bit, and it's kind of fun.
Which game is it?
But it's called Apex Legends.
Uh-huh.
And it's a shooter where they do the Battle Royale mode.
Okay.
Where you have to do kind of you start with nothing. You have to kind of search for stuff. You gather it, and then like the area progressively gets smaller and smaller, forcing people to interact more.
Okay.
We're not sponsored by this, just a heads up. it's just a game that I found that I was liking. But the interesting thing that kind of made it a little newsworthy is that it didn't really do any publicity for it.
Well, that's interesting, because I've seen it everywhere on my chat.
So it's this major company called EA that kind of is behind it.
Right.
And they kind of just said, hey, everybody, we have this new game that we're going to release called Apex Legends. Oh, by the way, it's out and you can download it.
Oh, so no hype for it beforehand.
No. Yeah, so normally for like movies and games that you see like a year's worth of hype.
Oh, yeah.
But
and
this one
trailers
was just kind of like,
all that.
Bam, go play.
Huh.
And they did do a lot of pay. So as soon as it released, they paid a lot of like heavily influential people to go and play it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that was kind of cool, but... I don't know. I've been having kind of fun with it.
Yeah.
And it kind of tied in with our topic for the day, which is...
console gaming. Nice. So last time we talked about what to look for in a computer when you go to set up to play games on your computer and where to find some and that kind of thing. And of course, a lot of people like to keep their work life and their play life separate. So they don't necessarily like to play on their computers. / it's a lot more confusing to have to go buy a computer and get all the parts right because there's a lot of options. So
yeah,
a lot of people like to go to consoles because they can be connected to a television. And so, you know, you get the nice big television screens. And if you're playing with other people, the consoles are definitely the way to go because you can have, you know, more space to be able to see in large screen and all that jazz. and the controls. That's the other thing about computer games is that they're all pretty much all just one person. Like, if you are on a computer, you have to be the only person playing on that computer. But console games make
unless you have like really awkward setups, that's just that doesn't work well.
Yeah, and it's possible to make it work a little bit, but even then, it's like two people probably. But with consoles, they give you the option of different kinds of controller setups and different kinds of things that make it much easier to play with more people. And I've only seen, I think, four people playing at the same time. I don't even, are there options go above four now? Seems like you could, theoretically.
Yeah, kind of, but especially with TVs that have gotten larger, so.
But anyway, so it's usually, you know, one to four players on a console. And the main thing when you're trying to figure out, like, if you're just getting into this, you don't have any game systems whatsoever, and you're trying to figure out, what do I want to get? I want to kind of play a game, but I don't really know what's good for me or for my family. Where do you start with that question?
So a big thing on what you're going to want to get, the console that you're going to end up choosing is going to be the kind of games that you're going to want to play. Because consoles, they, one, have exclusives where a game will only be on one console or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they kind of often focus in one kind of genre as well. So I would say stuff like the PlayStation is going to be kind of geared more towards fantasy games, a little more, at least lately, kind of more epic sort of thought kind of games.
Okay.
So games that focus more into the sci-fi / fantasy realm and have a big overarching thing behind them. Xboxes, I've seen, seem to focus a little more on the shooters and then also the kind of racing games, it seems a lot.
Fair.
There's a lot of blurred lines. That's just kind of what the general like stereotype is.
Yeah.
And then when you get into things like Nintendo, especially with the Wii's, you're going to focus more into the family-friendly and the kid games as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, there's definitely things like Call of Duty, which is something that you're going to find across all of those.
Right. So one major thing is a lot of the games are not exclusive. So between the Xbox and the PlayStation, I would say it's probably what a good 70%, probably at least, if not more, are on.
I'd say like 80% are across all of them.
Yeah. So
and when you go to find these games, it's pretty simple. I would almost say it's a little more intuitive and a little easier than if you were to buy for a PC game for someone that's just starting out gaming. So with PC, you know, you kind of have to find the right store like Steam, Origin. Amazon does a good job of kind of hosting things as well.
They do.
But with a console game, it's kind of easy. You can just head on out to Best Buy, Walmart, and even Amazon, all these online shops, they're going to be the place where you're going to want to go, actually. Because oftentimes, the built-in stores in the consoles themselves that you can go download digitally, I find they don't actually have the cheapest price.
Yeah.
Which is usually the different, it's different with PC. Where the digital will be cheaper.
Right.
Oftentimes with console games, if you go to a GameStop or something, you can find a sale that saves you a fair amount of money.
And used games are a possibility. Whereas if you're doing digital downloads, that's not an option. So
exactly.
With all of these, they have a physical piece that you can get just digital, but most of the time you're going to have a disc or a Nintendo's little cartridge thing still. But that's what you would get instead of your digital download. Actually, I don't think I've seen a computer game that had an installation media. Even if you like buy the box in the store, it just has a download code.
Yeah, which is just crazy.
But that's how you get grandma to give your son a game, is to have him buy the box in the store, even if it is just a download code.
Yeah.
So
the first kind of... Did you have something else that you wanted to say before we kind of get into
the other thing is if you have other people in your life who do play on a console, you want to match consoles with them. So if you want to get online and play, you know, PlayStation games specifically with your friend in the neighboring state or even just down the street, you do need to make sure that you have the same kind of console because they don't crosstalk.
There's very few games, maybe 5% or less, which will have cross-platform.
Yeah. So get the same console as your friend, whomever they are.
Exactly. The big one that's kind of the industry leader right now And the one that I actually have myself is a PlayStation 4. They really kind of took lead. They had a huge market share for the longest time. Xbox is starting to pull in a little bit. But the PlayStation itself is a pretty slick system. They have the ability to expand the hard drive really easily, which is really cool. So you can just pop it open. You can actually just kind of grab any hard drive that you want.
I did not know that.
And for the most part, it'll probably work with it. There's a little bit of setup you have to do, and I'd be a little more familiar with it and look up a YouTube tutorial, but that's really nice. So even if you just buy like a 500 gig PlayStation 4, you can open it up and expand its memory quite a lot for very cheap. The games themselves, like I said, you're going to see games like Final Fantasy are huge on the system, Kingdom Hearts, Uncharted, a lot of these big kind of exclusives. But then you have things as well as like Red Dead Redemption 2, which is cross-platform, or across a lot of them at least. As for the like controls and stuff, you really kind of only have the one controller, and that's the standard one, the same shape that they've kept since like PlayStation 1. You know, they've stuck to what works really well. They've introduced a little touchpad on it, which is pretty cool, and a couple of the games actually do make use of it. And then one of the really cool things that I've seen with the PlayStation 4 that I haven't with other consoles is that there's a neat typing system where you can like move the controller even if you don't have a camera attached to your TV, and it will like allow you to like type and point at things. They must use like the gyroscopes within it. It's pretty cool.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And then the last thing, the big thing to point out too, is the PlayStation 4, I think, has one of the lead in the VR leads right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you want to get into VR and you don't want to spend a whole lot on a gaming rig with a computer, you can buy a PlayStation 4 and then a Vue, or Vue is right? Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyways, it's cheaper, and it's considered one of the better ones out there.
Yeah, and when it comes to the different kinds of controllers, because they only have the one kind, they come in different colors and stuff though, right?
True. Yep. For the most part, you can get cases for them, you know, to change what you have, but
But do they come, are they all wireless, or do they come wired?
As far as I know, I don't think there's any wired for the PS4, but I could be wrong. If you're gonna buy one in the box, it's gonna be a wireless one.
Okay. So as far as charging goes, what do you have to do? Is it like batteries every day, or?
Just out of the box, you just plug it into a cord and then attach it to the PlayStation itself to charge it. There are docks that you can buy separate. But if you don't want to spend that money, I mean, it's basically just your standard micro USB.
Oh, okay. So you could theoretically just plug it into the wall.
Yeah, I have it plugged into my PC, which is another cool thing about the PlayStation. After the Xbox released the Play Anywhere thing, you can actually download a little simple piece of software onto your computer. And on my same network, I'm able to play my PlayStation games while sitting at my computer and play it through my PC.
That's interesting. Huh. I mean, you can do Xbox games that way too, but that's because Microsoft is, you know, everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of Xbox, I think Microsoft makes Xbox, right?
They do. And actually, it was interesting because when it first came out, everybody was like, oh, Microsoft trying to get into gaming. They're not going to do good. And then like for a while, there was issues with the, I don't know if it was the full system or just the hard drive, but the systems were failing and the little ring would turn
red. The
little
red ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny
because...
And
that was the PS, the 360, right?
Yeah. And that was, good golly, probably 8 to 10 years ago, but people still talk about it. So the nice thing with the newer versions of the Xbox, like the Xbox One is, I believe, that's standard currently. That is much more solid than the 360 was. They've done much better with keeping things, you know, not in the red ring of death zone anymore. So that's been good. But as far as like space and stuff like that, like you were talking about, you can expand the hard drive on a PlayStation easily. As far as I know, you can upgrade the Xbox hard drive. I don't know that I know of anybody who's tried it directly, but the easiest way for an Xbox is just to connect an external hard drive. And it seems to do a pretty good job, as long as, you know, you have a 3.0 connection. for your USB cord, it seems to do a pretty good job of being able to read off that hard drive. So
okay,
that's kind of the way to go. But yeah, with the Xbox, you get Xbox Live is your connection. So they have wireless Xbox controllers that you can also plug headphones into. So that's one thing to look for when you're looking at what to buy. Like, they do bundles, of course, when you're buying things together. I think if you just buy the straight up Xbox, it comes with a controller and like the cords to plug it in, and that's about it. But
yeah,
none of these come with games anymore. So you have to either buy a bundle that includes a game, or you have to buy a game before you walk out of the store. Sure. The one thing that surprised me when we were setting up our Xbox is how much setup there is. And I don't know about a PS4, but like, we plugged in the Xbox and got everything started and like walked through the wireless setup and walked through the account creation and walked through all of these pieces, because we had none of that when we first got our Xbox. And it took a while to get everything together. And I think I was probably at that thing for a good hour or two, just doing all the base setup stuff. So that's something to keep in mind. Is PlayStation kind of the same way?
Yeah, it's really simple.
Okay, so it's relatively simple. It does walk you through. As long as you can read the screen, you're good, but it does take a while.
Yeah.
And you have to know, like, your wireless connection and stuff like that, too.
And that's one thing to keep in mind, too, is when you're first starting a game as well, like, it's not always just plug and play. Like, you're like, all right, I'm going to play this game. But then there's first-time patches that could take, like 40 minutes to complete.
Oh, yes. That's another thing. Even if you have the installation media or the CD or whatever, it doesn't play off that anymore, really. I mean, it does to an extent. There's the base code in that. But all of them have updates and patches and things. And so,
yeah,
like you were saying, it takes 40 minutes. And depending on what you're... They all have to be internet connected, too. That's another thing. You basically can't have a gaming console without an internet connection anymore. It just doesn't exist.
The one thing I really think is really cool that Microsoft has going for it, though, is because they have the Windows setup,
mm-hmm,
where they can link with a Windows computer.
Yeah.
Things seem to be really nice between an Xbox and a Windows computer. So it's a really excellent home theater setup as well.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to have like home theater as well as like video games and like music and movies, I would almost say go for an Xbox then.
Yeah, and I honestly don't use a lot of those pieces, but it can do be your DVD player, and it can do all of the... Well, I don't... Does it do Blu-ray? I've never tried.
Yep.
Okay, well...
Yeah, all the modern ones will.
Okay. So yeah, it does all of that kind of stuff. And it does... I don't know that you can actually play with it wired, but in theory, I do know that Xbox controllers can be wired to your computer, and you can use them that way. But I don't know that you can play on the Xbox. I've never tried, because nobody wants wires. Why would you want a wired controller?
Exactly.
How many times did you almost pull your Super Nintendo off? So, Xbox controllers are the same way. You could charge them. Wait, no, they...
With the micro USB?
I don't remember anymore, because we have a thing dinger to charge them all. I think they take batteries, now that I think about it.
The big thing is that you can do, like, reusable batteries, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I see a lot of those setups where you can do, like, the reusable battery packs, and you just, like, pop it out.
I honestly have not seen anybody use controllers like this without having the charging station. So that's one thing to keep in mind when you are buying a setup, is you want to make sure you probably want a charge station. Like, if you're going to have more than one controller, because if you just have one controller, plugging it into a port is not a problem. But if you have four controllers, having little stands to put them on is really the way to go.
Pretty helpful.
Yeah.
And I think the cool thing with the Xbox too is that they have a little more variability with their controllers. So you have like your standard one, but then they also have the pro one, which is like a lot higher build quality, right?
I've never messed with it, but there are slightly different pieces to them. And my as my husband will say, I had a friend who broke his thumb. And as we were talking about it, he was like, oh, no, I can't play my games. And my husband was like, so he can play like you with both thumbs? I was like, oh, thanks, honey. Yeah. So I suck at gaming. So for me, like, controller build is just, I deal with what's in front of me, and I don't, like, I'm not one to change the buttons on a thing to make it better. I just deal with it.
No, I remember hearing that Xbox came out with their Pro Controller, which was, had, like, solid metal, like, components to it, and the DPI is incrementally, like, a lot better, and the build quality is supposed to last you a long time, but the controller itself, I want to say, is, like, $120.
Mm.
So it's meant for people that are more into competitive play, and they're probably going to be spending and making money off playing as well.
Yeah, there's like the elite wireless controller, I think is what you're talking about. And they have even like, there's something called an adaptive controller, which is supposed to be more helpful for people who have a hard time gaming with a normal one. So, but yeah.
That is the really cool thing with Microsoft, is that they've kind of done kind of an underground, they don't publicize it really at all, but they have a huge accessibility component to their system where they try and make things able to be played by anybody.
Right.
They've even gone as far as I see in the news stories to create custom controllers for people with very specific disabilities.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing on the Super Bowl this year, talking about gaming for all.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
So... yeah, that is definitely one thing that I appreciate that Xbox has been doing, because like you said, PlayStation has a controller and you can mod out and make different ones that work, but it's not the same thing as having Microsoft actually just building things for people with disabilities. So in that way, I really, really appreciate what Xbox is able to do with some of their controllers.
True.
But as far as like what to buy or like how to put it all together, when you're looking, I always prefer the bundle packs if I can find them that come with the game and a controller. And then usually even on top of that, you'll need to buy some more controllers and a stand. And the controllers aren't cheap for any. They're all going to run you $60-$70 a pop unless you find them on sale, which sucks. But
and I would also factor into account when you're buying a console like this, all of the systems nowadays, you can pretty much, or I'm not sure with Nintendo, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to pay for an online membership.
Yep.
So there's so many games that are just single player. If you want to play just on your own system by yourself, you're not going to have an issue finding a game.
Right.
But if you want to play multiplayer games, which a lot of games now are geared towards, some of them even exclusively so, you have to pay, I think pretty much the market rate is about $40 a month, isn't it? All right.
Well, I honestly don't know.
No, $40 a year, sorry.
I was going to say, that sounded really high.
$40 a month is high. No, it's about $40 a year, and that gets you the ability to play online. But you do have to pay for it, and that's something to take into consideration.
And a lot of times you have to kind of be careful with your online play. It's the same thing as any online community. Just, you know, don't be a jerk. Be nice.
Yep.
But so that's another thing to consider if you want to do that online with your friends, that you might want to look at the different prices and things. And then the other thing to look at is, like, if you have a very specific game in mind, make sure that it isn't an exclusive game. Like, Nintendo has a lot of exclusive properties because they're flipping Nintendo and they can do that. But as far as, like, Xbox, PS4, like, was it Spider-Man Homecoming? Spider-Man something? Whatever the most recent Spider-Man was. It was PS4 only. And so I had friends who had Switches and Xboxes, and they were all like, oh man, I want to go play Spider-Man. But they didn't have a PS4, so they were out of luck. So yeah, that's one thing to consider for sure, is if there's a specific game that you know of that you want to play, double check to make sure that it's not just on one system. Nintendo, we will talk about more in depth next time, because there's a whole world of things that they cover. But
it's just the amount of systems they have range from being it pretty much exclusively single player to some of the most multiplayer games you can get nowadays.
It's true.
So
basically, if you're looking for there are kid games available on both the Xbox, like the Lego games are amazing, but those are available on every console. I don't recommend playing Lego games on the Wii, however. That really sucked. But that's an old console now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the basis of PS4 versus Xbox, at least.
Yeah, and, you know, the biggest thing to keep in mind, like Kim said before, is buy what your friends are going to be buying. And I don't think you'll regret your decision. Both of them are good systems nowadays, and both of them are kind of updating with incremental updates. So some of them, you might have the PS4, but then you're going to have a PS4X, and that there's going to be something newer. It's going to have just a little better graphics to it, or like the Xbox One X.
Actually, it's Xbox One S is the newest version.
There we go.
I have the One, so I just assume.
You know, as long as you have the Xbox One, you'll still be able to play with other people on the Xbox One. It's just you're going to have 4G or 4K graphics.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, oh, and that's the other thing. They all connect via HDMI cable. So just make sure you have a lot of HDMI ports on your TV now, because everything connects via HDMI.
It's the new USB.
Well, I wonder if TVs will go to...
It's the old USB.
I wonder if TVs will go to USB-C.
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Anyway, that's a whole nother question.
A whole nother episode.
It is. We'll have to investigate that and get back to you.
Yeah. In the meantime, though...
You can find more of us on the Twitters and Facebook and such. If you just search for Service Desk Podcast, you'll find us on those places and on our website. And then if you want to ask us questions or leave a ticket in our system, you can email us at servicedeskpodcast@gmail.com.
Please make sure to rate and review us wherever you do listen to us. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, I think, right?
Yes, we should be on Stitcher.
Pretty much any of the big major platforms, so.
Yes, exactly. And if there's a platform you want us on that we are not currently, let us know, and I will see what it takes. I don't think we're in Pandora. I don't know how to get on Pandora, but I'll figure it out.
You can always subscribe directly to our RSS feed as well.
Yes.
Which, if at that point, if you're doing that, you'll know how to find it anyways.
Yeah, if you know how to get into an RSS feed, you're fine.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kim. And we are your techie friends.